Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
The first time I saw him, I was 12. I was asleep, and then I was awoken by nothing in particular. I looked up from my bed and saw him. A frail man with boyish proportions, hunched over in the corner of my room. I could see his spine protruding, casting shadows on his back in the darkness. His head was comically large. He turned to face me. "Hello, my name is Sundance, and I am the sun." A rasping voice echoed throughout the darkness. His words were low, croaky, and in whispering tones. I focused on his face, that great, round, yellow disc. With unmoving lips and unblinking eyes, Sundance smiled. A permanent stare and a permanent smile. From that yellow face, 8 beams burst. Golden, twisting, metallic spikes shot out individually, clockwise around the Sundance's face. I screamed, and I woke up again. It was morning, and I was in my bed. Sundance was nowhere to be seen. I felt safe, knowing it was just a dream. But then he came the next night, and the next night, and the next. Despite his unnerving appearance, I became less afraid of Sundance. He would always greet me in the same way. "Hello, my name is Sundance, and I am the sun." One night, after I'd completely grown used to his appearances, I spoke to Sundance. It was a warm night in the summer holidays. I remember being too warm to get under the covers, but doing so anyway, because I felt exposed. When I woke up, Sundance was in his usual spot. "Hello," he began. "My name is Sundance, and I am the sun."
"Hi, Sundance. I'm Joe."
"Hello, Joe." Sundance straightened with a creak. His metal lips smiled. His vacant eyes stared. "I'm a little cold, Joe."
"Oh, are you? It's really warm, though," I said.
"May I lay next to you?" He gestured to my bed.
The bed is quite small," I said.
"Oh, don't fear, Joe." Sundance took a few steps towards me. "I shan't take too much room."
He slithered into the bed next to me. He sat up straight, wrapping the blanket over his shirtless body, his bones poking into my skin as he nudged himself closer to me. He was cold. Fingers traced along my arm, his nails jagged, sharp. In the morning, I woke up pressed against the wall. I had a newfound fear of Sundance. I had grown used to his visits, but that dream had rekindled the uncomfort I felt when I saw him. I didn't see him for many nights after that, not until I was 13. When the fear of Sundance had finally faded, he returned.
"Hello," Sundance said. "My name is Sundance, and I am the sun."
I silently stared, watching Sundance. He looked less emaciated, though still frail. His spine was less visible upon his back.
"Joe," Sundance snapped, "are you not going to converse with me?"
He swiveled quickly to reveal his face, smiling, staring. "Sorry, Sundance," I stuttered.
"I'm cold, Joe."
"I don't think I should."
"Show some hospitality, Joe,"
Sundance interjected, his croaking voice trickling into my ears as he slid once more into my bed. That same cold skin pressed against me. Sundance's feet poked out of the end of my covers. Bare, thin, crooked toes wriggled with glee as Sundance wrapped an arm around my shoulders. Yellow toenails sat atop his writhing worms like little wax stamps. The next day at school, I found myself unable to focus. I couldn't get any of my schoolwork done.
I was punished for this and sent to isolation. In isolation, one would have their belongings confiscated, being made to sit in a small room with nobody else present. I was given several worksheets and a pen. I began drawing on the back of the worksheet, as I wasn't exactly in the mood to do maths. Absent-mindedly, I doodled. As I drew many innocuous little things, I felt a sharp pain in the nape of my neck. I placed my hand at the source of the pain and felt a thin, waving, twisting metal. I jerked away and spun around to face what was behind me.
"Hello," said Sundance. "My name is Sundance, and I am the sun."
"Help!" I shouted. I backed away from Sundance, climbing over the tables and chairs to the front of the room.
"What do you need help with, Joe?" Sundance giggled.
"Get away from me! Go away!" I cried. "Someone, help!"
"Oh, I see." Sundance took my seat. "You need help with these pictures, don't you, Joe?"
I tried to open the door, but it wouldn't move. The door didn't have a lock on it, but still, it was stuck in place. I watched Sundance as he drew. He held a pen in his fist, much like a child would. He scrawled frantically, stopping to look up at me before looking back to the paper to continue scribbling.
"Finished, Joe," Sundance held the paper with pride.
I woke up at my isolation desk. Drawn upon each of my worksheets was a crude picture of Sundance. That same smile, those same eyes, the 8 rays of sunshine that poked from his head. I scrunched the pieces of paper into balls and dumped them all in the waste bin in the corner of the room. I became used to being reprimanded for misbehaving over the next number of years. The constant panic I felt that Sundance would visit me loomed over me, clouding my every thought. A persistent fog in my mind. Sundance's smile was lingering in my head. I found it hard to focus, to remember things, to do much of anything. My mind would slowly drift back to that cold, wet skin and those unblinking eyes. When I was 15, I began sleeping with a knife under my pillow. I'd gotten it from one of the older boys at school.
"Hello,"
in that tone I dreaded. Sundance reveled in his own glee.
"My name is Sundance, and I am the sun."
"Leave me alone," I muttered under my breath, covering myself completely with my covers.
"That's not very nice, Joe."
Sundance tore away my blanket. His smiling face peered down at my curled up body. He was larger than before. He looked fuller, more radiant. I slowly reached under my pillow, wrapping my hand around the folding knife. I flicked the blade open with my thumb.
"Joe, share your bed with me."
Sundance dug his jagged nails into my thigh.
"No,"
I shouted and jerked towards him with a knife. My trembling hands were barely able to meet their target, but still, I plunged the knife into Sundance.
"Oh!"
Sundance stumbled backwards and I fell on top of him. I stabbed him and stabbed him and stabbed him. I kept stabbing him. With every thrust, Sundance let out a little yelp. I kept stabbing him until he stopped. I sat atop Sundance and looked at the knife. It wasn't wet with blood, but instead a thick, greasy oil that layered Sundance's skin. Still, blood poured from him. I felt a great relief. I closed my eyes and dropped the knife from my shaking hands, ready to stand up and leave. Greasy fingertips grabbed my hips, squeezing my flesh, pulling me back downwards.
"Now it's my turn, Joe."
Sundance reached up, lifting me by the throat. I struggled, kicked, scratched at his arms. His skin grease caught under my fingernails, and I left no marks on him. His stab wounds were still pouring blood, but he paid them no notice. Reaching above his head, Sundance grasped the top sunbeam. It clicked as he uprooted it. I looked Sundance in the eyes, and there was the first time I'd ever seen his expression change. Sundance frowned. His lips cracked and warped downwards, little gapes filling the splitting mouth. His eyes narrowed. Sundance sunk his shimmering sunbeam into my stomach. The blistering metal burned as he swished it around inside of me. I saw a smile return to Sundance's face and my vision faded. Sundance's giggles as he tore me open played in my head like a broken record. I couldn't have imagined such intense pain, the pure hatred that settled upon that metallic face, the anger and disgust that Sundance felt, that I would dare defy him, a burning malevolence carved into those sunken eyes. I'd believed myself dead, yet I was still thinking. I slowly opened my eyes, and in the blackness of the world around me, I saw a distant light. I found that I was alone, in what was seemingly a void, aside from that distant glow, floating. I looked down at myself. My stomach was agape, and little chunks of myself floated alongside me in the black. Before I could question what was happening, I felt myself pulled towards the light. Globules formed under my skin, born of the blood that had poured from my stomach. Little red balls floated alongside me, weightless, like tiny cherries. The pull of the light became stronger, and I knew that soon I would pass the event horizon. My thoughts were few as the light grew brighter, closer, a great orb that encompassed the majority of my vision. In those moments, I only held a melancholy acceptance. This was the light at the end of the tunnel that so many people described. I noticed waves, indentations, spots, and other imperfections upon the light. Slowly, those imperfections shifted to the right as the great orb rotated. "Hello," a booming, skull-shattering voice called from all around me. Still, despite this omnipresent echo, it was a familiar croak. First, the corner of a great eye came into view. "My name is Sundance." Lips spoke with thunderous volume. Wide, red lips, cracked and dry. "And I am the sun." In full view, I beheld the great light in all of its terrifying magnitude. Sundance, a vast star. He opened his mouth, wide, all-consuming. It grew to encompass his entire face. I could do nothing but scream as I drifted towards the chasm. Closer, closer, closer still. I screamed for what felt like hours, screamed until my throat was raw. Still, I hadn't reached him. I endlessly floated onwards, and soon felt no fear of Sundance. Instead, only the same melancholic acceptance remained. I had become too exhausted to scream, to feel that fear. A shadow loomed over me as I approached the final stretch, passing the boundary of Sundance's lips. A thick spiral of tiny teeth lined the inside of Sundance's gaping mouth, and I was sucked towards the central singularity of Sundance's throat. Little laughs resonated around me, as if each of the tiny teeth were giggling at my expense. The white stalactites peppered my skin with dripping, boiling water. Slowly, the mouth closed, and I was engulfed in darkness. Sundance stood over my body. He was fat, gelatinous. His body wobbled as he leaned over to pick me up from the floor. Weak, dejected, I tried to struggle. I tried to release myself from his grasp, but there was no fight left in me. Were his grip not so tight, I'd have slipped through his oily, greasy arms like butter. Sundance hummed a merry tune as he raised me above his head and dropped me onto the sunbeam spike that lined his face. Everywhere I look, I see him. I see his rotten nails, his greasy skin. I see his eyes, and I see his face in the sky. I always feel cold. I always feel alone. I try to meet new people so that I won't be alone. I always introduce myself politely. I find myself looking for someone who will share their bed with me, just to let me warm myself up a little. It's not that I wish to impose. I'm just so cold. Perhaps one of my new little friends will speak to me soon.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.